Ramble.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about? Because rice pilaf has the little rice, and then there's like these little ovals,
and
little
peas.
Bonus rice.
Well, there's peas in there.
No, what are you talking about?
I feel like rice pilaf has peas.
Not standard.
Yeah, I think it has some sort of peas, or maybe those are the little ovals you're talking about.
I'm talking about boxed rice pilaf.
Do you think peas are ovals?
I'm talking about rice pilaf that you get in the box that's the cheap stuff.
I feel like it has dehydrated peas.
I think
and
you're
then
correct.
You rehydrate the peas.
Pretty sure it has peas.
It involves cooking the rice soaked in stock or broth, adding meat, spices, and other ingredients such as vegetables, employing some technique for achieving cooked grains that do not adhere.
Adhere?
I don't know.
To the
so
rules?
It's sort of like JV risotto.
Good tweet, Ned.
That's a really
yeah, I should dust off the Twitter.
Pilaf is JV risotto. Eugene, thoughts?
Wait, Zach, are you saying you thought it was spelled P-loaf? Like
no,
a loaf
I don't
peas?
They think.
Oh, okay.
No, we don't think that. We
think
that
peas
the
in
dish
pilaf.
Contains peas. Why
wouldn't there be? I don't think it has to have peas.
I've never once had peas.
I think
peas
it just needs to be
pilaf.
Flavored by some
are you
sort
kidding?
Of vegetable.
I'm going to Google, I'm going to look at, and within the first three Google images, you know there's going to be peas.
Yeah,
rice?
There's going to be peas.
Just to be clear, P-I-L-A-F. That's
yeah.
To say, okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah. No, nobody
starts with the word P.
Well, P-I.
P-E-A-L-O-A-F.
That would make me
L-O-A-F.
P-loaf.
P-loaf.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Both the second and third pilaf picture have peas.
Okay,
this
you
is
get a
breaking.
Silver and a bronze.
Breaking
and
news.
I get the gold.
And the fourth.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And the sixth.
You're
and
losing
the, fifth.
The statistical argument.
I mean, I would love to try it. Sounds great. I love peas.
Yeah.
There's sometimes I like peas and sometimes I don't, audience.
Talk on that.
Yeah. Whoa. Speak on that, Keith.
Well, welcome to the Tripod. Today we're talking peas. In or out 2022. No, it's just a normal episode of the Tripod, but we probably will talk about peas.
Is have you guys Christmas? Ever blown peas with your mouth and hover them in the air? I used to do it all the time
I'm
as
sorry,
a kid.
What?
So
like,
check this
like,
out.
Like a little
check
science experiment?
Imagine, vision yourself doing this. You take a pea, you put it on your lips, and then rather than having your head up and down, you tilt your head all the way back. So your face is facing the ceiling. And then you just gently blow like this.
Dude, that's hot.
And you're hovering them?
And the, you know, like a little science experiment, the pea will hover in the air. Yes. If you can modulate the like gentleness of your breath to be just enough to hover it, but not too much to like blow it way up.
Listeners, wherever you are right now, I want you to grab a pee. If you're driving on your way to work,
right.
Grab a pee.
Yeah.
I want you to lean all the way back and try and make that pee hover.
Peas.
Should we do a roll call?
Roll call.
Wait, is this the actual Christmas episode?
No, it's just coming out. It's just December. This comes out on Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're nowhere near
December
Christmas.
Not yet. Well, it's December. It's holiday seasons.
Nah, yeah. I don't accept that.
You don't accept a holiday season?
Well,
my Christmas season.
Technically, it's Hanukkah season.
That's true, Zach.
Pack off my turf, you motherfucker.
Did Hanukkah end yesterday? Well, for us, it ends either yesterday or today.
I have no idea. Hanukkah is such a little slippery bitch.
It is all over
that's
the place.
A good tweet.
I don't know because like John Ossoff was tweeting the happy Hanukkah days.
Thanks, John.
Oh,
happy
yeah.
Hanukkah
it's like,
days.
Like Honda.
Like Honda. Was that a happy Honda days reference?
Honda? Honda days.
Why none of the large car companies?
We've got 8 days of sales. Come on down to Chevy.
Yeah.
They do it for every other holiday. Why not Hanukkah? They do it for like Arbor Day, the Arbor Day sale.
Drive that's your ass off with John Ossoff for this happy Hanukkah day.
Well,
I like that.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, as a Jew, it's tricky because Hanukkah follows a different calendar than the calendar that we have. So it's just all over the place. You never know when it's going to be. It's like, wacha, surprise Hanukkah. I'm never ready
for
it.
Thanksgiving Hanukkah this year.
We had Thanksgiving Hanukkah.
Wow. Thanksgiving Hanukkah.
Go figure.
Turkey Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Turkica.
You put 8 little candles in your turkey and then a 9th to light the rest of them.
I mean, that would be cute.
That would be cute. I would eat latkes at Thanksgiving.
Oh, shit.
I would eat latkes at all holidays.
Yeah.
Supreme holiday food.
Strong way to prepare potatoes. And there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
What's your top 5? Oh, top five potato preparations.
Mash is obviously flying high.
Oh,
somewhere in the top three.
Obviously, it has to be number one.
You're gonna say
with peas in it, though, right?
Oh, mashed? I mean, actually,
yeah.
Are you serious? Mash number one?
Yes.
It's at least number two.
Over French?
What do you have?
You mean French fries?
Oh, French fries.
French fries is a clear number one.
Oh no, they're low. We're thinking French fries are low for me.
I thought you meant like a side dish.
I'd rather buy a second burger.
Just saying in general.
Over tater tots?
Oh, well, I didn't say tater tots.
Okay, easy, Zach.
I'm glad you bring up a good point. Fries is pretty high too.
I had tater tots last night.
Tater tots are number one, baby. I'm calling it.
Wow.
I thought we were talking about like holiday dish situation.
No, just in general.
Just in general, fry preparation.
Out of all potatoes.
Potato preparation.
I went big eye birds eye view.
Fries might be number one.
Vodkas are way up there for me.
Vodkas are maybe number one for me.
Yeah.
Over French fries?
Yeah. I'll eat a frozen latke over a French fry.
A frozen?
From Trader Joe.
Out of the freezer?
Oh, yeah. Cold as an ice pop.
You tell me.
Toss that in the air fryer.
McDonald's French fries.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. That's good. But a latke.
Pretty good fries.
Brings me back to Zach's
roots. For consideration of the Midnight Society, hash browns.
Hash browns, yeah. I mean, it's tough. You gotta rank
browns.
Them somehow.
Yeah. Hash browns are all over the place in terms of like how good they're going to be when you get them, I feel like.
Sure.
Like you can get the frozen, you know, kind from McDonald's. It's delicious, amazing, like fried. You can get the diner ones, which sometimes are amazing. Sometimes they've decided no seasoning belongs on them and you have to season them yourself. Like it's too wide a margin, whereas mashed potatoes, they're always at least great.
Yeah, they're going to hit.
They're always great.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be wonderful, stupendous, but they're always great.
I think they've evolved into one of those dishes that you get judged on by other family members.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like,
oh, yeah.
If mashed. You have subpar mashed potatoes, people will call you out on
it. I had some pretty hot mash at my Thanksgiving, for sure.
Lumpy mash.
They were good.
Yeah.
Do you like lumpier, or do you like a little more on the
whipped.
The creamy side?
Yeah. Wet mashed potatoes.
I like them...
wet.
I wouldn't mind a little chunk, but I don't want a lot of chunks. But I do leave the skins on in mine. Because
you're a skins boy.
I like the skins in there.
And it depends. What is the chunk? What is the lump? Is it lumps of butter? Lumps of potato?
Cold
Those are different lumps.
Probably potato.
You want lumps of butter in your mashed potatoes?
Well, I've seen it.
Some might.
Hey, Jack, come on in.
What's up, Jack?
Thank you, Jack.
Hey, Jack's here.
Smoothie delivery.
You ordered a green smoothie?
Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate
Jack.
That. Thank you.
What, you ordered a smoothie? Zach, do you have enough for the rest of the class?
I grab a bucket of fried chicken.
I did. I ordered a smoothie at the Second Try Kitchen.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Jack delivered. I'm just going to do one of these. Going to blow the...
right at Keith's face.
Whoa.
Wow. Blew the
that was
straw.
That
made
one.
A good
top
sound.
Top of the straw right at Keith's face.
Every time I try that, it doesn't work.
Let's talk about green smoothies, Zach.
Okay.
Do you feel like this makes you shit your pants, or you feel like it's going to make you healthy?
Neither, my friend. Mm. So,
wait, can we just let you just put that straw in one more time?
Oh,
it made
God.
A much better sound the first time.
Yeah,
it really was
it
struggling.
The
classic.
All right, here we go.
Oh, that was really
like that.
Good.
Like
let me try it.
It's so dark green, it's almost like blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I like this segment.
It's called Zach Smoothie. This episode's going to be called Zach Smoothie.
Silently drink a smoothie.
Isn't this the first time the four of us have all been back together in maybe over a year?
So we've only been talking about, what have we talked about?
Mundane food.
Potatoes and Zach's green juice.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Didn't someone say there was a roll call happening right now?
Roll
we also have the most people, I think, in the studio that we've ever had before.
That's true.
Keith. Ned.
Smoothie boy.
Eugene.
Miles.
And then also, Ned, you have a couple special guests.
I brought my friends and family.
The live studio audience.
Well, you brought one friend and one family.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
That's right. My friend and family.
We got a live studio audience today. My dad is here.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the soundboard? Where's the soundboard? No, not the audience one. The big clap.
Not the horn?
Miles. There we go.
Nailed it.
Like somebody turned
it's my
the shower
dad's,
on.
It's my dad's birthday today.
Oh, wow.
Happy birthday. What would you like Jack to bring you?
You want my smoothie?
We could have Jack bring you a cake.
We could.
That's
what,
really
what
good.
What type of cake? Chocolate.
Okay. Oh,
last time your dad was here, I feel like I talked about something really inappropriate, and he was sitting next to me.
Did.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah.
And then we also have my buddy Eric, who is my best friend, the best man at my wedding, neighbor growing up. I've known him for 33 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's a long ass time.
That's a long time.
I'm a year.
What were you guys doing at the age of one?
They don't remember. Don't just partying. Just
can
like,
you really truly know someone at that age?
Yeah, can you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can know.
You ever seen two like babies just vibing?
Yes.
Sometimes babies just, they get along. They're like, yeah, these babies are chill. They're both like looking at this train.
Yeah.
They're into it.
They're both looking at this train.
Later on, Eric will tell an embarrassing story about me.
That's
and,
hot.
And I'll,
yeah.
I think I'll leave the room.
Oh, shit.
I like that. Yeah, no defense.
Talk about
that. Ooh, I like that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Or maybe we'll just tape Ned down.
Oh, God.
We'll, I feel like there's been a lot of accusations and slander in this episode, and I'd like to just set the record straight. This is not a green juice. Oh. This is, in fact, a smoothie. Mm. It just has an overabundance of kale. That wasn't my choice. That was just what was on the menu. Mm. Thank you.
Gotcha.
I'd also like to address something.
Please, yeah.
Keith, I think...
Yeah, dress down, Keith.
I think frozen peas with butter, always amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
But they got to be frozen.
Wait.
They
got to just put them in a pot with butter. And it's like just the one thing that I think the British do really well.
You're talking
the side
like
of peas.
Stir, like on the stovetop.
You never cooked peas, Zach?
I've never once in my life.
I believe that.
Frozen peas and butter.
Frozen peas and butter,
baby.
I
believe you.
Yeah.
So Becky always puts peas in our pesto pasta, and I'm like, I don't want peas in that.
Oh, it's
I
so
don't
good.
Want that. And she's like, but I like it. It's like, but I mean, sometimes I like it. I like it in fettuccine alfredo. Not that I can ever eat that anymore. Oh. But I don't think pesto needs peas. Discuss.
Wow.
Maybe she just likes alliteration.
It's a secret healthy item. Like they're trying to put. She's trying to hide it in the greens.
Peas have flavor.
Good tweet.
They have a lot of flavor. That's why I don't want them in my pesto. They go in there and they change the flavor.
I think they elevate it. I think it's great. I mean, DateNightCookbook.com. We have
are there peas in your pesto?
Yeah, pea pesto with pea tendrils.
Pea tendrils,
piss flavored.
They're like
pea tendrils. Pea tendrils are different than peas.
Yeah, they are different than.
They're
peas.
Dope.
What's going on with that tendril?
They're like little, like leafy, like small, tiny little. Imagine a tiny piece of lettuce.
Okay.
Well, I'd like that way better.
Don't they look like a little four-leaf clover almost, but like a two-leaf clover?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. They're weird little fuggers.
Keith,
yeah.
I will agree with you. I don't think I would want peas in my pesto pasta. Yeah. I'd rather have chicken.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Or like
a sun-dried tomato.
I was going to say sun-dried tomato.
Sun-dried tomato. Right.
Well, because the pea is kind of like, it gives it a texture, but it also kind of, it just like is similar to the pesto flavor.
It gives that brightness, that acidity.
Yeah, artichoke.
That breaks good. Through.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would say you shouldn't buy the cookbook then.
I just got my copy last week.
Now, Eugene, speaking of delicious, you were at the BTS concert recently with Keith.
Oh, yummy, yummy butter. Yummy,
smooth like
yummy.
Butter.
Whoa.
Like Criminal Undercover.
Wait, how was it?
It was incredible. Mind-blowing. Incredible.
It was the most things my eyes have seen happening concurrently that I'd know as a producer of entertainment involved, like each thing I saw would take 150 people to make.
Wow.
And I saw probably 150 things at once all the time. So intense.
So for some background, BTS's Permission to Dance tour was just about four nights at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, which is a new stadium. And it's enormous.
Enormous.
It seats so many people. And the other thing that you should know is that Keith and I, we purposely got like higher up suite seats because it's one away from just the main crowds.
Yeah.
But also at a lot of K-pop style concerts, I think this is happening at many concerts now, but especially K-pop, fans buy for like $75 one of those light up sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And those light up devices are programmed to do very specific.
Wow.
Basically, like it's all like digitally programmed to work with the music.
They become part of the show. The whole arena becomes a screen. Whoa. And each light is a pixel.
Yeah. So looking down on it is gorgeous. Yeah. It's an amazing view.
Easy to do a show that fills a stadium. And it, from your guys' stories, like they really use that whole canvas.
And you know how like sometimes, like most artists, they have like a little catwalk of sorts that goes like 30 feet and then there's another stage. Mm. Their catwalk went to the 50-yard line. So every time that they came from the beginning to the middle, they were going 150 feet.
Holy shit.
They were going 150 feet every time they went from the back part of the stage to the center of the arena.
And so they situated themselves in one end zone and then like the entire like 80% of the stadium was filled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And it was so incredible. And the every bit of the floor was a screen. The screen behind them obviously had a million things going on. They had so many fun pre-programmed effects. What was your favorite? Do you have a favorite moment? I have a favorite moment.
I personally really liked the remix of their song Idol, and the visuals were crazy because they did this sort of like Photoshop theme. But I also really, that there are certain songs they have that are already very turned up and then the remixes are just turned super high for this concert. And I don't know. I think it was just like a really well choreographed show that everyone was, it's rare that you're in a place where you could tell everyone's just a mega fan. I mean, they really are the Beatles of our generation.
They're such a mega fan that everyone around us, which obviously was mostly 15 to 25 year old girls, was filming the whole concert. Not just like, I'm talking the whole concert. They never put their phone down. Some people even put their phones perched to just film the whole concert from their vantage point. It was constant. And also, like, before the show even started, girls were crying. Just because a song came on that they knew they were going to hear later again live performed, they were just playing music videos before it, and people were just crying.
Wow.
And it was very cool, and it was like very sweet. I think a girl near us was fully having her sexual awakening. She was kind of losing it. It was kind of hilarious. It was just so magical and cool to see people who care so much about something getting to experience it. And I've never seen like a super band. Like I never have seen an NSYNC or a Britney Spears. I've never seen a super act.
Well, and by the way, you've never seen anything like this because there's never been anything like this.
Never been anything like this.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to go. It was very sad. You guys know I'm a little BTS fanboy over here. I took Maggie's family on a vacation. I got multiple tweets every single day asking if I was going to this show from the army. It is with great shame and dishonor that I say no.
Mm.
I didn't. But I was very happy to live vicariously through you guys. Eugene was texting me, teasing me for many hours, telling me that he was going. It was very sweet. He's like, now don't hate me. So first question, how was Jimin?
Jimin was very cute.
So dope.
And in fact, very sensually playing with the audience. He was one of the most flirtatious when it came to his clothes.
Oh, that's my boy.
Yeah. He had
amazing
hair throughout the show.
The whole show. They just oscillate between being super, super fucking hot and then adorably shy. And they'll just turn on a dime and be like very, very hot. And then, anyway, I'm just so excited to be here and see all of
it's quite literally Asian culture.
It's so fun.
I do have one bone to pick with the world.
Oh shit.
Uh-oh.
Which is whenever I post anything about K-pop now, there's a lot of young people who are like, how does this guy get to do this or know about this before I get to do it? And they're 12. And I'm like, listen, I am actually Korean and I've been listening to K-pop since the 90s. And if you don't remember, 7 years ago, I was literally introducing K-pop to every single person I knew, including colleagues.
Yep.
And all I would say was like, y'all just wait. There's going to be a band that's going to break through and be the biggest shit in the world. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being BTS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was so funny because no one listened to me. They're just like, all right, here's some like weird Korean music Eugene keeps playing for everyone.
We listen.
Y'all listen.
Yeah, listen. We did.
But damn, now everyone's just like, oh yeah, of course. Like, this is the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I just kept,
BTS,
I was like,
yeah, from
in
the
my
car
crystal
commercial.
Ball, I was like, guys, you guys have to get into K-pop because K-pop's going to be the biggest shit in the world. And everyone still was like, I don't get it. There's too many people. It's too crazy.
But
it's too
not in English.
Yeah, it's
for the
not
most
in English.
Part.
But it's changed.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes
crazy,
it is.
Crazy how much this shit has changed in the past 10 years.
BTS Super Bowl halftime show 2023. What do you guys think?
Possible.
So
they're almost happening. Too big for it.
They're almost too big.
I think they're too big. I also hope, like, I don't know if that's the right audience for them.
Yeah.
I want it to be a
receptive
audience.
Certainly isn't, but to me, it's the definition of super mainstream.
Fox would have a fucking field. The Super Bowl used to be about America. These Koreans come in and take over our pastime.
Yeah. I went super southern with that. Yeah, I love that.
I think that was mostly correct.
I could see the cry at Chiron.
Okay, question two.
Okay.
I was going to text you guys and ask you to buy me merch, but I imagine that the merch line was just out of fucking control. Like, I can't, it's like I liked you too much as friends to send you on that journey.
So,
but how was the merch?
Fans actually lined up at midnight the night before
to
be at the
at
front.
SoFi.
To buy merch that opened up like in the afternoon the next day.
Whoa.
So they were waiting over 12 hours in the cold to just get the first merch because
come on back. <It's>
The merch that we saw, there were at the end of our concert, because ours was the last night, at the end of the thing, there was merch, but it was not the cool merch anymore. It was fine, unfortunately. But all the good merch was gobbled up.
Yeah.
Just gobbled up and gone.
Yeah. My friend Irene, who went with us, it was her third show out of the 4 to 5 shows.
Whoa!
Yeah, she's a true super fan.
Way to go, Irene.
Yeah, but also Korean, so it was nice because being Korean, that was the most sweet thing. Myself with another Korean person, like we're older, so we grew up having to deal with people like making fun of us for being Asian. We were the ugly ones in school, and then to have all of these American kids sing Korean next to us, it's an insane experience. Like we were almost near tears half the time. She's like, "Isn't this wild?" Mm-hmm. Because we were hated when we were young, and now. Mm-hmm. And I kept repeating, like, man, if I was born 15 years later, I'd be such a dick.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Because I'd be like, oh, it's cool. It's the Korean kid in school. Instead of like, oh, it's the Korean school kid in school. Get him.
Right.
And I'd be like, oh, it's the Korean kid in school. Get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. That wouldn't have occurred to me, but that must have been so moving and special. Mm-hmm. And this is like, so people, if you don't understand, playing SoFi Stadium 5 nights in a row?
Something like that.
Yeah. Five nights, whatever the total.
It was
that
so
is
many nights.
The biggest thing that you can do in music. Mm-hmm. There's not like that is the tippy top. I saw Harry Styles a couple like weeks ago, and that was also incredible. He sold out the Forum. He did a couple nights there. But SoFi is like fucking. That means you are the top of music.
70,000 people.
There's
newest stadium in the world.
Yeah, the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is going to be there this year.
Oh wow!
Place to play, right. It's the newest place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's the only place with the technology available that's the most current technology for you to utilize for your show, which is amazing. It was so fun,
like
and I could tell like it was like mostly. You know, it was very dominated by Asian Americans. I knew people had flown in. There were Asian Canadians as well. There were people, like some girl said, I flew in from Canada because it was only in LA. And it was clear that, and so cool, you know, that all of these people get to see someone who looks like them and see like they are the coolest people in the world right now. And it was like clearly emotionally affecting for all these people. And it was very cool to see and experience.
Did you guys get mobbed?
No, because we were in our little secret upstairs area. And then we left, during the last song, and we missed the Coldplay song, which everyone was like, you missed the best part of the concert. And I said, no, we didn't.
I'm
sorry, but even if you like Coldplay, Coldplay is not the best part of a BTS concert.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, other nights got surprised by like Megan Thee Stallion.
That would have been incredible.
Megan Thee Stallion did a thing with
just twerking on BTS. Yeah.
That's rad.
I'm not even kidding. That's
so
sounds like
cool.
A blast. I wish we had seen that.
You know, maybe in the future we'll do like a K-pop dedicated episode. There's a very fascinating history behind it that I'm like super involved in thinking about like exactly how this went from like zero people being aware of Korean culture to everyone consuming it. So yeah, there's some really interesting parts of history that play into why BTS is so popular.
Yeah.
Well, get this. So I was on vacation with Maggie's family. We were in Mexico and we were feeling jealous. We were like, fuck, the guys are, why did we do this? Why did we go away? We should have just flown back. Fuck your family. And so we were thinking about it and we didn't. But we're like, you know what? Maybe there's going to be a cool concert here. We're by Puerto Vallarta. That's a big city. So we go online and we're like, what concerts are coming in? And I look and I see, and it's Stevie Wonder and Lionel Richie. And I'm like, that's fucking dope. Wonder.
Pretty much the same thing.
Pretty much the same thing. They're both at the height of their talent and career. But I was like, you know what? That's cool. And then we look at the fine print and it says Stevie Wonder and Lionel Richie performed by Kevin.
Some guy named Kevin
doing a night of covers. And that was the best concert that we could have had. So we didn't go. We didn't go see Kevin.
He's headlining.
Yeah. I don't know if Kevin's covering Stevie and Lionel. He must be really good.
He better be good.
Yeah, he better be good.
What
was the BTS of your generation, would you say?
The BTS?
The Big Pop.
The Big Pop group.
Big Pop super band.
The Beatles, right?
Yeah, it's not really a corollary. It's just like,
it's international.
Because the Beatles was the first like international group that stretched over oceans, and everyone was hyper aware of them. And they didn't have the internet back then, so it was like especially impressive that
Beatles. I think are you guys watching Get Back? Did you guys watch the Apple doc? I haven't watched it yet.
I watched a little bit of it. It was kind of boring. I'm not gonna lie.
It's both
kind of tough to get through.
Boring and like it's very shapeless, but also the most deeply fascinating thing. Like you need to be a Beatles fan, but it's just it's just fly on the wall. Their creative process for 8 hours.
I mean that part was. There's one part where you kind of see them making the song Get Back in real time.
It's crazy. Like, you'll love that. You should watch that clip. Yeah, he's literally just humming and he's like,
oh yeah, I saw that
and,
clip.
Like just strumming, and then all of a sudden. Out of thin air, Get Back is created. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
But like that, I think that's a good corollary. And it's the closest we have because of like the wave of Beatlemania. This thing came from overseas and the hysteria around it. That's the wrong word. The intense fandom where people were fainting, like that is new. But as far as like musically and culture, they're just their own thing. I don't know. I don't really know how you compare BTS to anything else.
What was the first version of like people being mega fans of something?
Like stan culture?
Yeah, was it
probably
like
Elvis?
Yeah, probably like Gladiators.
No, I was thinking like was it like, oh, like, internet like an illustrious warrior who came back and they're like, whoa, it's Spartacus, he's so awesome.
Yeah. I think people
got mad when I just started talking about the Caesar thing a couple podcasts ago. So
Julius?
Yeah. Julius.
Caesar salad.
No, I mean, well, because like in ancient times, a lot of the intense fandoms were like through like, how could you like promotionally write about yourself? And like part of the reason why Caesar like became such a big thing is like he kind of wrote this like memoir that is like very much like from the point of view of like himself.
I'm just so dope. Like,
yeah. This is how dope it was.
Right. Well, people stand to Jesus.
No, actually not a lot did.
I guess that's a good point. That's
they had 12 really big fans.
and then a lot of other people were kind of into him,
but also afraid to be into him at the time. Because
his merch was not ideal. Yeah.
Didn't have good merch. He had a line of sandals that didn't go anywhere.
I think, though, like 12 back then is pretty good.
And it's not bad.
Pre-internet?
Because they were, you know, they were kind of like fish heads, right? They went wherever he performed.
Fish heads is not a bad name for the Jesus fandom.
You know,
yeah.
They followed him every time, and he was like, "I'm just performing by this tree." I'm like, "I'll be there. I'll be there. Which story are you telling? Which one? The one of your birth? Love that one."
Well, I mean, he was also like highly performative. I mean, there was no like
he did magic
back in the day. You just like tilled the field and then probably raised a baby, and then there's this guy being like, "Hey, guess what? One fish, 1,000 fish.
One fish. He was doing redfish.
Water, wine.
Party time.
So this thing is crazy. Jesus's disciples, most people don't know this, they would buy these little fans. And then while Jesus was talking, they would stand around him and they would be like a show in and of themselves. They would hold up different shapes. They like they become a screen.
People did do some crazy stuff for him. They did lay down a bunch of palm leaves so he didn't have to walk on the dirty ground once.
Really? Yeah. Just once?
Yeah, just once. I'm not kidding. Once they did that. And then he like got there and he washed someone else's feet and they were like, you can't, Jesus, don't do that. And he's like, no.
No.
It's cool.
It's cool now.
We're equal.
Okay. Mr. Like, Rogers did that. Yeah.
He's a cool guy. I was someone was wash your feet. Tweeting me the other day about my how Jesus is a Slytherin wizard who just fooled us all. That's mythos that was from a previous podcast. And I was like, that's real. I need to go re-listen to that.
That was our idea.
I think it was something, and I think it was when I was playing the Miles.
Oh yeah.
Of the episode. And I kept talking about evil wizard Jesus and how he was a Slytherin who just did all these cool tricks to make us think he was the son of God. He was just an evil wizard.
Yeah.
It's weird that there are things that we've said and done that are more memorable to people than they are to us.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I was out of control that day.
Well, speaking of headlines about cool stuff, about cool stuff that we did, I prepared a really good segment that's going to be so good.
Miles, we'd love to hear it.
Hey, thanks, man. Okay, so on TikTok, you hear TikTok? You have a TikTok?
I know about that.
Yeah, I've heard about it.
You heard about it? So there's a great...
I'm sorry, I'm just looking at Eugene.
Eugene's upset. So there's a great...
You're not making us react to TikTok.
No, not today, not today. Well, unless you want me to. Yeah. Although, you guys on Bing Bong TikTok? You don't know what that is?
Wait, is it the dead character from Inside Out?
Yeah, no. Inside Out? It's not important. Everybody in the comments is going to go wild for this.
Is it the thing Lil Nas X did with all his famous friends?
No, but that was fun. Okay, so there's this guy, Jacob Kaplan 17, who had a great segment that we're just going to steal, but check him out. Jacob Kaplan 17. Nope, I'm pointing to the screen. No, none's there. You guys looking back at me? Okay, nope. None's there. Looking back
Why
at me.
Why do we have this big screen?
Well, it's a painting right now. But he had this great thing on TikTok where he was making... BuzzFeed headlines out of historical events.
Ooh.
And so I have a list of great historical events that we're going to make BuzzFeed-esque clickbait headlines for.
Oh, that's fun.
And sort of discuss, you know, what's going to be the most clickable of these trending historical topics.
I mean, something we all want to do. Shit,
so I'm ready.
I know you guys, you know this stuff, right?
You're uniquely positioned.
You know the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, to start off, Marilyn Monroe JFK cheating scandal.
8 pictures that show Marilyn Monroe and JFK's relationship is goals.
Yeah, that's good.
I meant put in cheating relationship is goals. We all wish we could cheat that hard.
Yeah, that's really nice.
13 other affairs that will get you saying yes, queen.
Really good stuff. definitely gonna click on that. So did Marilyn Monroe for real hook up with JFK? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
No, Marilyn Monroe's dope.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. People, because everyone thinks of her as just the dumb blonde, but she was so smart. She hung out with philosophers.
I only
and
have
cool people.
Really dirty, awful titles going through my head.
Yeah,
that really I don't know if they're appropriate or not.
Mm. Well, we can cut them out or bleep them. That's gonna make for a really good episode.
Not just steam vents. See what else is up Marilyn Monroe's dress this week.
That's really good.
Oh God,
that's like the BuzzFeed headline as if it were published in the 60s.
Yeah.
Read all about it.
Not just steam vents anymore, folks. JFK.
Brain's
too thinky, Miles.
It's too thinky. You know what? Here's a good one. The Wright brothers flying a plane for the first time.
Oh my God, what the fuck is that?
Period. OMG, what the fuck is that?
It's like, no one else, no one saw it. They'd be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
It's in the air and it's a machine.
That is crazy. Oh,
brothers, where are they from?
North Carolina.
I think. Brothers from North Carolina finally get something right. Take to the skies.
Really good. Take it to the skies.
Pretty good.
It is pretty crazy they did that, huh?
It was fucking nuts at the time. It was unbelievable. You see the shitty flying machines people had invented before? They were awful. Bad. There were some that like did this. They were like...
They're like flapping like a bird.
That would have been you.
I would have loved to have been an early air engineer just guessing.
In another life, Keith would have been coming up with goofy ways to figure out flying and he would have failed spectacularly.
Oh, beautifully.
It would have been so beautiful.
Meet the brothers who are literally flying a plane.
Literally.
That's cool. Really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, who is a good actually good point, Keith? Who would you guys all be if you were in? When was flights invented?
When was flights like, invented?
When was early flights? 20th century?
Yeah, early 20th like century, 1912. Like yeah, so if you were then instead of because obviously YouTube.
Which aviation pioneer are you? Yeah.
Answer Wait, these 16 19... fast food questions to find out.
It must have been earlier than 1912, because there's no way we went from inventing planes to having bombers immediately. Must have been late 1800s.
You're right. It must have been late 1800s.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. We're
pretty, because otherwise they would have used them in World War
One. 1871.
In World War One, all they had was, like, you know, Zeppelins.
They did. No, they I saw 1917.
1903 was the name.
That movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1917. There's a plane crash.
Huh?
There's a plane.
1903 was when they first did the flight thing.
Well,
the Wright brothers, guys?
The Wright brothers.
Those boys?
The Wright
How
brothers.
Old were they?
I think they were young. I mean, everybody died back then, like pretty early.
No,
so.
Not, I mean, it's like 50-something.
Well, they were born in 1871, and they were like 33.
Should we fly some like old-ass planes?
Try guys fly?
That seems terrifying.
Rudimentary planes?
Okay, I had to realize.
We should get Quasi to take us up.
Yeah, Quasi flies.
Yeah.
He has a pilot's thing?
He's working on it.
Almost there.
That's really cool.
Every time he comes to film with us, we have our office, he has his office. And we're like, Quasi, coming out? He's like, no, man, I'm studying. And we're like, oh, what are you? And he's studying for his airline test.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just so cool.
And he loves it. He's so happy. And we'll get him on to talk about it sometime. I don't even know why or how he decided to do that.
Wes and I went on a plane flight, and the pilot was all super nice and like let him kind of come up and look at all the buttons. Have you guys ever been in a plane cockpit? There's so many buttons. There's probably over 1,000 buttons, and each of them do something, and you probably have to know what each of them does.
Wow.
You probably.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Tell me you can just let autopilot take over.
Probably.
What's your favorite button?
What?
In life. Oh, my favorite button?
The podcast ends right there.
My favorite button. I have a favorite button in life. It's the button that starts a game of pinball. That's after you put your coins in, and that little flashing button, you get to play pinball after you hit that button, and that's a pretty darn good button.
I like that missing button that Corduroy the Bear was trying to find.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he find it? Yeah, he found it.
He
it's
found
a kid's
one.
Book. Yeah.
He
I remember that
up,
vividly.
Though, right? He lost fur.
Here's what Corduroy the Bear looks like now.
Old yet?
You won't believe it.
He lost one of his buttons on his overalls.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
the... A girl find him and take him home and sew him a new button at the end because he can't find a button because everyone else needs their button.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be adapted into a movie at some point because they're already doing Clifford
I'm surprised
the Big Red
it
Dog.
Hasn't.
Clifford the Big Red movie looks crazy.
He's so big and red.
Too
big.
It was...
You saw it?
You saw it? Yeah, we had Wes over and the Fulmers, and we watched the first
The Habersburger had a G-rated movie night.
Okay, so
G stands for pretty good.
How big and red was Clifford?
He was pretty, it was like the size of a school bus.
He got big too fast, IMO.
It was like an overnight magic
Wait, so
thing.
Was he born typical puppy size?
Yeah.
And then he got huge?
He was born as an ordinary puppy, and then the power of love transforms him overnight to
really?
Be a size of
he
a school bus.
He was bought from like a circus man.
He was in a
I'm
nuclear.
Sorry. What kind of fucking message is that for kids? And then they go, "Mommy, why am I not big?" Well, Timmy, because I don't love you enough.
No, only oh, this dog. Only this dog has that.
The dog,
and because he's red. But I wish that the dog had just grown over the course of a week, so they could have dealt with the larger versions of him slowly.
Mm, yeah. It just seems like that would have opportunity.
Better for the characters, but it was pretty funny to wake up and their giant dog. They had to deal with those consequences.
That's true.
In
it was
a quite hilarious.
Immediately
way.
Difficult.
Sounds like you liked it.
I liked some things.
I liked some things.
There's some good moments.
But the dog is 100% CGI, and I wish that occasionally there was a real dog on screen.
Probably the best is just somebody in a Zorb. And the dog just like punting.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. Just, that was a good sequence.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
Velveteen
we should
Rabbit.
Review more G-rated movies.
Wait, so he's still a puppy technically when he's huge?
Yes.
Does that imply the sequel he's going to be like the size of the Empire State Building?
Shit. Good point.
Are they going to neuter him?
A lot of people need to love him.
If they neuter
No, he's saying because he'll grow.
Where his balls
like, he'll just naturally grow.
Miles asked an important question that the ramifications of which are terrifying.
Are they going to neuter Clifford?
His better balls are gonna already be neuter, or big. Else that long
that's,
is going to be knocking in the building.
Fucking pink red rocket is going to be buildings over. Clifford's red rocket. People don't talk about it enough.
A genuine rocket.
Yeah, a genuine rocket.
Yeah.
We're going to need a bigger knife.
The tragedy of Clifford.
I can't imagine like a team of 30 vets.
Yeah.
Someone's got to neuter Clifford.
A crane.
The team from Armageddon comes in. Bruce Willis is on a rocket.
That's the sequel?
Yeah.
10 unlikely scenes coming up in the sequel to Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Do you think Clifford's a tragic character?
Because he's so big.
Well, think about this, okay? Think about things that dogs love. Belly rubs. He'll never have a rub that can satisfy that belly. Playing with other doggos. He'll never find an equal.
He'll murder them all. Dogs are a little too aggressive sometimes and they accidentally kill stuff. And I would say a dog the size of a house would do that.
It's sad.
Yeah, pumping? It is sad. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of the childhood story characters are inherently tragic for some reason. I think that's a, like Paddington.
He's a sad guy?
Well, because he doesn't have his family. He's supposed to be in Peru and he like gets stranded in London. He does get basically adopted, but he's also like thinking about his aunt in the jungle because that's where brown bears obviously live.
The jungle.
Yeah. But all I think a lot of the storybook characters have sort of a tragic backstory.
But then Aunt Lucy comes to see London.
It's like how a lot of children's stories always write an orphan as a protagonist.
Yeah.
Because it's a very easy like arc to then wrap something up in a bow.
Babies
for kids.
Understand
someone
parents.
Doesn't have family. Mm-hmm.
And they understand. Family. That it would be sad to not have parent.
Yes.
I don't know if this is a fucked up thing to admit, but when I was a kid, I had like orphan fantasies because all the media that I watched, people were orphans. Oh, I'm like, man, that'd be so sick. So like whenever I played make-believe, we were like, all right, cool. And I have no family. Cool. My parents are dead too.
Oh, man. So you wanted to be an orphan because it would make you the protagonist of a cool story?
I just loved It Takes Two, man. And
well, they're certainly usually the leads in most of, I mean, even in Marvel movies, like there's a lot of moms that don't exist or were killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like name a character with a mom.
I can't. I can't name one.
I mean,
can't do that.
I guess the Wasp did, but then she always thought she was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she ended up not being dead, but she was just stuck in a different dimension.
She was essentially dead.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen that really horrifying fan of image of Christopher Robin and the 100 Acre Wood characters? It's like Christopher Robin, and it's like this retelling of a dark where Christopher Robin kills 6 kids in the woods. And like to deal with the trauma of that, he invents these characters of Winnie the Pooh, Piglet, and the rest.
There's interesting.
Yeah, it seems kind of fun.
There's the prevailing theory, although it's not necessarily what the author intended, that his imagination, all the characters are just extensions of some mental neuroses that he has. So like Eeyore is his depression.
Seems like a little, like we're kind of like going out on a limb there with those two theories.
Very Tumblr.
We like to fantasize darkness in our lovely, happy characters. One about the Rugrats that's like that.
That one's dark.
Oh, that all the kids are
people
dead.
Love making things dark and spooky.
Well, Eeyore was always dark, though.
He is.
Yeah. Poor Eeyore.
We stan.
Yeah, stan Eeyore. Eeyore was my favorite.
Working through something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's always trying to build his little stick. It was a little stick cut, and then it gets blown over.
100 Acre Woods casting. Who's who? Out of the four of you.
Wow. Well, Ned is probably Tigger, right?
Yeah, Ned would be Tigger. I guess you would have to be Piglet. You probably would be Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Keith. Sick. I think so. Oh,
I do like honey.
Yeah, you would be Winnie the Pooh.
Are you Christopher Robin?
Nah, I think I'd be Eeyore.
Yeah. Or who's that rabbit guy?
Rabbit.
Nah, but rabbit's like always.
Rabbits?
He's like finicky.
Or owl.
I guess rabbit's also.
Rabbit complains a lot.
Well, yeah, I was like, rabbit's kind of a jerk, right?
Yeah, rabbit's a little bit of a jerk.
He's like a real bummer. Prick. Get out of here.
Miles, I think you're Christopher Robin.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Yeah. I could see you in those little shorts.
Miles just shot.
Now imagine me in the ear. I could see you in those little shorts.
I could see you in those little shorts.
I think people would get a real kick out of us doing a live nationwide tour of us just doing stories from poo.
Actually, if we can get the rights, but then they're just like, you know, just appropriately twisted.
Oh, yeah. We'll make it dark and spooky.
Yeah.
People like that.
That's what adults like.
Ooh, you call it Eeyore Kills.
Can we call it Spooky Poo?
Spooky Poo.
Well, now it's time for a segment where you hear an embarrassing story about me.
Oh, yeah.
And I leave the room.
Wow.
Okay. Introducing my buddy Eric.
That's
Eric, go on.
Thank you guys for having me.
Eric, of course. Great to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. One question that's on all of our minds. What's wrong with Ned?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Ned?
I'm going to stoke some controversy here.
Here we go.
So this is a story. Ned has his version of the story. It's the showdown between my brother and Ned. 9-year-old Ned, 5-year-old my brother Andrew.
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
And it's the golf club incident of 1996.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. It's got so many titles.
Yeah.
Wow. Showdown for colon.
Yeah.
Wait, and Ned is 4 years older.
Yeah, Ned's 4 years older, and we're playing in the backyard, and we're playing golf, little kid golf. Ned had his like new first set of like metal golf clubs, like the the real thing, not the plastic ones
anymore.
Classic
privilege, yeah.
And
they're in Florida. That's all you do there.
And what a lot of people don't know about Ned is he was kind of intimidating as a kid, especially me. Like I was a year younger and older. Ned, he was bigger. He was kind of scary. And
he had a bag full of clubs.
He had a bag full of clubs.
Carried his bag full of metal sticks everywhere.
Exactly. And then my brother likes to push people's buttons. And my brother gets a hold of one of the golf clubs, and Ned's not too happy about it.
Ooh.
So he's like, Andrew, give me back my golf club. Whoa. And my brother's like, you know, my brother's my little brother. He's being a little brother. He's like, no, I'm not giving you back your golf club.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ned's starting to get angry. My brother's starting to get scared. And
did he beat your brother?
Literally clubbing a 5-year-old.
Get me there. You're like, that's such a fun old story about childhood.
But the thing is, my brother has a golf club in his hand, not Ned. And Ned had a way of running when he was that age where he ran like head first, like a velociraptor.
He still does.
It was terrifying.
Full throttle.
So, so words are exchanged. I'm just sitting there just watching this. I'm like, oh, this is going to end very badly. Mm-hmm. So Ned just charges my brother like head first. Like he's like a linebacker going after my brother. My brother freaks out and he just goes for a swing.
Yeah.
It takes him out, hits him right in the head.
Oh,
blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was a terrifying scene. Luckily, everyone was.
So let's just do a slow-mo replay.
Yeah.
Your 5-year-old brother has a metal club in his hand.
Yeah.
What is it? A driver, a putter?
It was an iron.
Nice.
Yeah, probably like a pitching wedge or five iron, something like that.
Ned, angry, runs head first towards your brother.
Sort of a Naruto run is what I
This 5-year-old takes it. And in an act of self-defense, of course.
Yeah.
That's not how Ned would phrase it.
Now, where did it hit?
I think it was like kind of like right on the top of the head.
Tell me, was it like a, like, did he cock back swing? Or was it just a...
He cocked back. My brother was standing there. He was like Barry Bonds, like ready to...
So this wasn't like a swat, like a fly swatter.
He gave a full...
And you sure?
Swing.
You sure that that age he was 5 and not 4?
Very nice.
God,
this is a maybe funny story now, but that's terrible.
What was the fallout? So what happened after?
And then, by the way, that explains a lot, I think.
Yeah. So my brother got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Ned was very upset. Ned's parents were very upset. My parents were very upset. It took a while to mend that relationship.
Oh my God.
Ned was hurt by it. I mean, it was
Ned okay?
No joke.
Mr. Fulmer, can we get you in here? Oh my God.
Was he fun?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was bleeding everywhere.
It must have been so scary.
It was terrifying.
Now, did he need stitches or anything?
I don't think he did. Mm-hmm. I don't think he did.
What's different about Ned's version? Does he make himself out to be like, I wasn't that hurt? Like,
or no, maybe he wasn't charging
like
him.
It's more like he's just trying to take the golf club from my brother. And my brother just...
I see. So the
I heroically went to save the club.
Now, here's the story I think you should spin. Ned was like a really stupid kid. And then after this freak accident, he wakes up and he's like, wow.
Brilliant.
X times Y equals Yale.
Yeah.
And he is the most brilliant child in the world.
I don't know.
Do you guys want to, when Ned comes back in, should we be like, I cannot believe you charged that poor innocent boy.
I honestly just wish we all had access to a golf club.
I do think that.
Yeah, I just want to be holding a golf
club.
Wait,
do you have your mini golf?
Is it in the closet?
Is it in here?
In the closet.
Oh my God. I think we have, Keith has mini golf clubs.
I don't think Ned should have the opportunity to say his side of the story. Defend himself.
But wouldn't it be so funny if we make it all seem like we're against him?
But clearly y'all made up because you were the best man and you guys.
Well, I didn't hit him in the head with a golf
club. And you didn't hit him in the head.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You were caught between two parties there.
Yeah, I'm just observing this. It was kind of like a slow motion train wreck because I see Ned's head go down and he's running. And I'm like, oh no. And I know my brother.
Oh my God. Keith has a golf club.
Wow. Okay. So, should we we'll ask Ned back in.
Yeah.
But Keith, maybe you should be hide the golf club.
Yeah. And Ned knew what story you were going to tell.
No, he has no idea.
Had no idea.
Yeah.
He asked for an embarrassing one. Yeah. You chose a traumatic one.
Yeah, Ned's so embarrassing you got hit.
Dude, you bled.
Loser.
That's so, oh my God.
Wow. Does your brother still have guilt about it?
He was five.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I think he was just afraid, and he I think he's playing the self defense card there.
He's backed into a corner.
But, yeah.
So how are we playing this?
We're gonna bring Ned back in.
Yeah.
And then we're all gonna tell him that this story really impacted our perception of him.
Yeah.
And then say that explains a lot, and Keith will then take the lead with the reveal.
No, and I think actually for the reveal, it'd be like, if Ned gets defensive, it'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Ned?
That was a fantastic story. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That
was
incredible.
I had no idea Ned was so awful.
I'm so sorry.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We just really couldn't believe that you could do that.
Yeah. I know that your opinion of me has forever changed.
It definitely has.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to be here.
So we heard about...
yeah, what did you hear about?
We heard about a time where you were a little too violent.
Yeah, something you did to someone very close to Eric.
Well, we thought it would be embarrassing, but it was actually a little...
At first, I thought it would be behavior that was like part of the course, but it clearly wasn't what it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which story you're talking about.
Yeah.
I just don't...
I mean, holy shit.
Yeah. I just...
Violent behavior towards somebody.
Yeah, I mean, his brother was five.
Yeah.
Is this the origins of Full Throttle Fulmer?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, look, I'm not going to hold something that you did as a kid against you. We've all made mistakes, so it's...
What do you? What story is this?
Ned, calm down.
Ned, calm down. Geez. Okay,
Ned, I'm getting hysterical.
Ned, calm down. Calm down. Ned, calm down.
God.
Calm down. You can have it back when I'm done with it.
God. Yeah.
I know that the first nine of many people's lives are tough, but the back nine is normally easier.
I think I remember this story now. Where did you get a golf club?
That's for me to know. And you find out, Ned. Come try run at me, Ned. Come and get it.
Come and get it.
That story ended with me getting hit in the face with a golf club. I was the one who was bleeding from my skull.
Ned, please contain yourself. I don't know how to use this.
Oh God! The flashbacks are happening.
To quote the witness, he lowered his head and charged like a velociraptor.
Yeah.
So it was self-defense. So what was his brother to do?
Yeah.
This poor innocent child is being attacked by Full Throttle Fulmer.
Yeah.
I was just standing there. I was definitely just standing there. Because I remember the club, which was a driver, by the way.
A driver
coming down and feeling like in slow motion, clocking me on the head, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, there's blood.
He said it was an iron. He said it was an iron.
He thought it might have been a wedge or an iron.
He thought it could have been a wedge, a gentle wedge.
Maybe
it
was a wedge.
I thought wedge it was a driver.
They would all hurt.
They would all hurt.
Still have a bump.
You still have a bump?
Well, oh, man. I don't know.
Honestly, the driver might have hurt less than a wedge just because it's a round rather than a thin line of impact.
That's why I was surprised at the blood. It seemed like such a...
Yeah.
So we were definitely having an argument. I don't remember about what. I don't remember charging him. Jeez.
Well, that was fun for us. I got a handful of puns in and that felt good.
That was pretty good.
You know, that should maybe be a new segment is I love the shift in perception of childhood
Yeah.
Moments
from one perspective different. To another.
Yeah.
Did, my story as told by someone else.
Did my dad tell his moment of the story of my mom being on the phone with him, me coming inside, and then her saying, "Oh my God, there's so much blood," and hanging up abruptly?
Shit.
Oh no.
I'll save it for another time then.
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we can.
Hi, Kaylin.
Oh, what is that?
All right.
This is a new Try Guys merch.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Is this it or is this a sample? This is the sample. Of course, I sign off on all merch.
Oh, look at
Zach
that.
Zach is the approval
this is
boy.
Cool.
Oh, is it a wind, it's a windbreaker.
Mm. Look at this. Tracksuit.
Oh, that dope. Looks fresh.
Yeah. Should I try this on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put it on.
It looks all right, well, so good.
Oh, tell us about, here, I'll get changed while you tell us about your mom finding out that you were covered in blood.
Well, I mean, I put my own hand up there and then was like, and ran inside. And you know, your scalp, it bleeds quite a lot. Quite
yeah,
a lot.
There.
So I think by the time I ran inside, my mom...
Good for sound.
Yeah. Oh, he's taking his whole pants off. Jesus. Oh my God.
I saw.
Zach, how old is this underwear?
What?
This is new.
Undies,
why is it so thin?
It's really thin. It's way too thin.
Translucent.
I've been gaining a lot of weight from working out. Nothing fits.
It's going
me
straight to your dick.
Yeah.
Gaining a lot of weight in my dick.
What do you want me to do, guys? Where do you want me? Okay.
We already had Eugene saying he wants to see Miles in boy shorts.
That's right.
Oh, we have.
No, that wasn't.
Zach flashing his dong.
That was Eeyore. Eeyore needs joy in his life.
Oh my God.
There we go. Now he's got
well, they
on.
Do look good.
They look really cool.
Frosh.
They're like snow pants.
Oh, it's a full zip. Oh, a full zip on top.
I'm liking this.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so we've got it's
Start
like
it
a
all the way.
Yeah, zip
wow,
it up.
Wow, this is cool.
Very 80s. So
it's
80s.
It's very 80s. It's a full jumpsuit. There's little like diagonal stripe moments on the bottom.
Do they still call these windbreakers? We call them windbreakers.
Yeah,
as kids.
It's like a windbreaker.
Yeah.
Break that wind.
Wow, that
like,
is loud.
That is
I like
fun.
How the top is kind of like,
ooh, it's hot.
You know, stripes. Right. Zach will take it off on the afterpod. Head on over to patreon.com/tryguys to become a Triceratops. Support
just
the
lighting. It looks. It's just like a little thin.
It did look a little translucent, didn't it?
Yeah, on your crotch.
Well, it's not like this tripod ever blurs people's crotches, right? So,
well,
right.
After Keith, the Keith accident.
Yeah.
But now it's time for some advice.
Woo!
With advice so that'll go for Miles with Miles Bonsignor.
It's advice that'll go for Miles. Tune it to your radio station. It's advice that'll go for Miles. Everyone get ready. Miles Nation. Miles Nation. Go. It's advice that'll go for Miles. Advice that'll go for Miles.
What's up, Miles Nation? How's everybody doing today?
Woo!
Yeah.
Hi.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who's that?
It's me, Christmas Nick.
Oh, Christmas Nick.
That's right. I've been busy down by the North Pool, and I'm telling everybody how to get by this cold winter season.
Prospector Christmas. what do you have to tell us?
Grandpappy.
Have you ever wanted to live in a wonderland?
Wonderland?
Yeah.
What's that, son?
What's that? That?
Have you ever wanted to revive life from the sink?
Yeah. Revive life from the sink?
Garbage disposal?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Get your pants off.
Okay.
And revive life from the sink. My advice to you is that plants aren't necessarily dead.
Oh.
Ah, okay. Why are your pants off?
Well, Christmas Nixon needs to let it hang loose. My advice to you is to get a little bit of water. If you think there's a plant that's dead in your house because you're murdering them like a genocide, You want I'm Chris.
I'll allow it.
We're just going to breeze on by that one, audience. No one's going to draw attention to it. We're just going to breeze on by.
Christmas trees are experiencing a genocide. Chop them off. Bring them in the house.
I guess that's doubling down.
They're dying inside.
It's not incorrect.
Every Christmas tree that dies, I feel it in my loins. But my advice to you is that your plants might not necessarily be dead. There was a plant in my house recently, and I thought, that plant is dead as fuck. We forgot to water it. It's not in the sun. It's dead. But then with a little bit of care and a little bit of wire.
Wire?
Huh? That's right. Christmas kids. I took a little bit of wire. It was a big, tall plant, and it was like kind of falling over. Uh-huh. And I wired it up, and I tasseled it with little nipple tassels, and it went up. And then I put water in, I put it in the sun, and it, completely fine.
Mm.
Completely fine plant.
Mm. It was just sick.
It was just sick.
It was just
my bullshit. And then I.
Your shit.
And my shit. Sick of my shit. And then I revived it. So, my advice to everybody out there living your best lives, trying to not get cold for Christmas, is just your plant's not necessarily dead.
Give your plants a second chance.
Give your plants a second chance.com.
Tweet it.
.com.
Tweet it.
Tweet it.
You know what I learned about plants is that if they got little brown bits on them, like the leaves are dying on part of it, cut that out.
Yeah.
Cut that part out because all the water's going there. Yeah. They're trying to fix it.
That's right.
And then the rest of the plant starts dying along with it.
Mm-hmm. Especially a tomato plant.
Especially tomato.
Especially, don't even be started on tomato plants. Yeah.
Don't you bring us down there because we're never going to get out.
We're never going to get out. The way they grow, they keep like splitting, but they split way too much. So you got to pull out the little tiny tendrils.
Prune.
Pea tendrils.
I feel bad for house plants.
Interesting. Speak on that.
It's like looking at a caged bird.
Well, some need
but their
to cousin, live in
but
the
their
house.
Cousins are like,
yeah.
Look at all this fresh air.
That's true.
And the houseplants are like, please put me by a window.
Yeah,
so I'm constantly in a state of
houseplants
pain.
Houseplants can sometimes get the shaft, but if they're well maintained,
that's
there's
true.
Nothing more beautiful,
be glorious.
I'm not a
such tender love and care.
Not a fan of plants. Too much work, not enough Heath. Reward.
Wow.
Not enough reward. What do I get out of it?
Your house is lovely.
Oxygen.
Oxygen.
There's oxygen outside and inside already. There's plenty
because
of oxygen.
Because of plants.
Turns out there's plenty.
There's life. It's what makes it.
Not because
human.
Of your plants,
there's
because of
enough.
Forests and crops. Oceans.
Crops.
Crops help.
Wheat.
Those are great, but my plants in my house, plants in my yard, don't need them.
You don't need plants?
I like
You're telling
them.
Me if your backyard was all anti-plant. Concrete, you would
concrete.
Be happy?
I would rather it be dirt.
Where dreams are made of.
I know for a fact that your lovely wife puts a lot of work into her plants, and I'm going to go, what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call her and tell her that you don't appreciate
it. We did until we got the kitten, and the kitten can't be trusted, so all the plants had to be locked up in a room, and all the plants started dying.
This is why
Keith,
they're all dead.
Sounds like you're resentful.
What about...
Sounds like
I never wanted them to begin with.
Sounds like you're getting
Keith, what about?
I liked seeing them when they were happy and healthy, but also sometimes all of the sinks would be full of Becky's plants because it was watering day, which meant there was nowhere to wash my hands.
Like
how am I supposed to wash
Becky's
my hands?
Plants.
We're in a pandemic.
You can sit with us.
She knows they're her plants. She knows.
Oh, I'm so sorry that
I have golf
Becky's
clubs.
Plants are an inconvenience
golf
to your hand washing.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. I can't wash my hands.
But what about like succulents and cacti?
They're fine, but also. They're just unpredictable too, aren't they? Sometimes they just die. I elbowed a cactus the other day on accident. Fuck.
Wow.
Well, those cartoons ain't kidding. You will go, yow! Elbow a cactus. It still hurts. It's been 2 weeks.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Cactus probably heard all that smack you were talking.
Yeah, you gotta watch out.
I previously talked about how beautiful I thought that cactus was. And then I elbowed it and I said, fuck this cactus.
I feel like once every 2 years, science comes out with an article. It's like, do you know that when you cut a plant, they actually scream and in agony and pain, and we can measure it. They're screaming all the time. Ha ha.
What?
Yeah
you hear
true.
That shit? Like when like you cut grass, they emit.
Yeah.
Grass
Express
emits.
It as a BuzzFeed headline, and then maybe I'll.
Just did.
Oh, my God. If I only eat meat. No, yeah,
exactly.
But don't I want to hear the screams. I don't want no secret screams.
No. Yeah, apparently grass like warns grass nearby that it's getting hurt.
Huh.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
It's really
like
horrible.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Through chemicals.
I don't know, through some kind of, yeah, releasing a chemical of some sort. I don't know. It's pretty wild, but you know, that's all the time we got for today. Listen to Try After Pod on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/tryguys. We'll see you over there. And it's still time for you to get some Christmas gifts if you forgot about that family member, or maybe you rekindled a lost love.
An old flame.
You need to give them a nice hoodie.
They would love a Ned Collect-A-Boy.
They would love a Collect-A-Boy. Hey, maybe you want a 3-pack of hot sauce. Maybe you want a cookbook. Maybe you want some tea. Or maybe you want to invest in Eugene's dark secrets.
If that were an option, I would do that.
Can't we just make on the Try Guys, the merch site, just $5 toward Eugene's secret plan and see if people buy it?
I bet a lot of people would.
They might. Okay.
Okay. Grass is crying. Keith is with the official tripod theme song.
Oh, ouch, I just got cut. Everybody around me, watch out, there's a lawnmower about. I'm saying, oh, ouchie, I just got cut. Everyone around me, watch out, there's a lawnmower about. Tripod.
Until next time, stay beautiful.
Nick, calm down.